This is Jane McMillan interviewing Mrs. Goodwin Dunce, the seamstress, at her place of business, 350 Main Street, Lakeville, Connecticut. This is tape number 155. The date is September 4th, 2012. What is your full name?
Gudrun Dunce.
And where were you born?
Bitburg, Germany.
And what is your birthday, please?
4/4/36.
Do you have siblings? Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do. Two of them.
Are there any of them in the United States?
Yes. One is in Puerto Rico, and the other one is in Seattle.
How did you learn to sew?
Well, I learned how to sew, of course, in Germany. My aunt was Mother Superior of a very strict nunnery in the old section of Düsseldorf, and that's where I learned how to sew for about, well, not quite 4 years.
Is it something that you took to naturally, that you enjoyed doing?
Not really. My mother encouraged me to do that, and in those days, you did what you were told.
I remember. How did you come here to Lakeville, Connecticut?
Well, I met my husband over there. He was in the service, and we got married over there and then came over here.
What year did you come over here?
1956, about a week before New Year's, actually.
Oh!
Yeah.
Excellent. And when you came to Lakeville, did you live in an apartment or did you live with someone?
No, we didn't live in an apartment. My husband had a house here, but people lived in it, and they had to move out before we could move in. So I was very lucky to live with a lady by the name of May Bissell, whose father was Dr. Bissell in Lakeville.
And where was her house located?
Right on Main Street in Lakeville, which is now the Litchfield Bank.
And did you speak English when you came over?
None. Only hi and goodbye.
That's important.
Yeah, two important things.
How did you learn English?
Well, first of all, from my husband, from May Bissell, and many friends of hers, which included several doctors that she was friendly with, from the Sharon Hospital. Dr. Fisher, Dr. Moore, Dr. Brewer, Dr. Wheeler, of course, my favorite doctor at the time. Dr. Smith, also. They used to come and visit, and on purpose, of course, and we would sit in her library. In those days, doctors still made phone calls, and I'm sure it wasn't all because of me. It had a lot to do with May Bissell, being her father was Dr. Bissell. But I was very grateful, and it turned out wonderful. That's how I learned to speak.
It certainly did turn out wonderful. Where was your husband's house located?
On Porter Street.
Do you remember any of the neighbors on Porter Street?
Oh, sure. Whalen, he used to be the postmaster of Lakeville. Further up was Mrs. Solon. Down the street a ways was Joan and John Palmer. I think the town garage was on the right at the time. But that's about all that was at that time on Porter Street.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Tell me about your favorite meal that Mrs. Lofredo
Oh, I never forget that. That was wonderful. Fried squash flowers.
Ooh.
Out of this world. And she and I became friends. She worked for the Lakeville Journal at the time. And how that came about was that her son and my husband went to school together. And, of course, her father was a shoemaker. So, I mean, her husband was a shoemaker.
I remember Danny.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you actually start a business of sewing alterations?
Oh, very quick. I started to sew alterations, plus made new things. At that time, I made lots of new things. I made suits, men's suits. I was taught all that. Used to do some things for Lawyer Wagner and Lawyer Beckett. So, what was that question again?
When did you start sewing your business?
Oh, that was, actually, I got here in 56, and I started right in 57. Once we got into our home,
then
I started.
You were working out of your home
first.
I
was working out of my home first, yeah.
And then?
Then, after a number of years, that got to be much, much too much. My husband complained, rightfully so, about all the traffic in and out. So, I joined forces with a woman by the name of March Davis, who was on Main Street, opposite the post office. Then when March retired several years after that, I was able to carry on in the same building. And I was in that building for 25 years, went through several landlords.
Was that the red Mulville building?
Yes. But before that, it belonged to Dr. West Smith, mm-hmm. who was an eye doctor. And before that, Mr. Vales, who used to own the track, owned it.
James Vale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You told me something that Lawyer Beckett specifically wanted you to make.
Oh, yeah. Fix his socks.
Mm-hmm.
He says a good German girl must know how to darn socks. And my wife throws my socks out when they get holes in it. And I spend much too much on socks. to have her throw them out. So, of course, I had the wooden egg at the time, which I'd brought over with me. And I would darn his socks. And in return, he promised if I got myself into little problems, he would be more than glad to take care of me for me darning his socks.
That's a good trade-off.
I would say.
And you did something special for Lawyer Beckett, too.
Yeah. In those days, they had those old, bulky typewriters that would take the court with them. And he always liked nice, I guess you call them covers for
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And besides doing other things for him, I made new covers every now and then. And he proudly marched into the courtroom with his new typewriter cover.
Were they always conservatively colored, or did he like plaids?
No, he more or less liked, to start with, sort of conservative. And I quickly talked him out of it because I said, it's much too dull. You walk into a place like that with nothing but headaches, at least you look at your typewriter cover, and maybe it'll brighten them up. So
that was a wonderful suggestion.
Yeah.
Did you ever work at K&E?
Yeah, for a very short time. My husband, that was before I got so busy sewing. My husband objected, but like so many women, I was able to talk him into letting me try it. So I worked for Mr. Lubischer making slide rules, and I still got one.
Good for you.
I kept one.
I would think compared to the sewing, it would be a very different experience.
It certainly was, sitting on the machine and just, you know, making the slide rules.
Doing the same thing over.
Oh, it was not. It was so boring. And it didn't last very long.
Good. I'm glad you stayed with the sewing.
Oh, yeah.
You had a wonderful story about Bill Barnett and the bank shares.
Oh, God. Yeah, I did. When he got ready to move to Florida, I knew him very well because he also had a German daughter-in-law, one of his twins, had married a German girl. And he approached me in the post office one time and said, I would like to have you buy something that I own. Well, I couldn't imagine what the man had I wanted, but he said, they're not worth anything right now. But, he says, I can almost promise you, if you buy them, this little bank will go places. Well, it was just a little town bank. More people than I never thought it'd get to be what it is today. So he said, I think, I'm almost sure it was over 100 shares. And it wasn't all that much that he wanted for them. I could have easily done that. But I had no interest. And I kicked myself more than once for not having done that. Because years later, oh, Lester Hoisrat?
Oogie,
that's right. He had some. And, oh, my God, you wouldn't live it down for a week. Oh, they tripled. Oh, my God. I guess that's what you call it. Oh, they split or whatever.
Yeah.
So he says, oh, my God, you should have bought them years ago. Should have bought them. So anyway, I didn't. So.
And he did like to rub salt in the wound, didn't he?
Still does.
Yeah, well, some people just don't change.
No.
Do you have a story about Doc Laverty and his car in the wintertime?
Oh, but yeah, the only guy around that had still chains on his tires, because he had, you know, in those days, when I first came here, it was much more rural than it is now, and the back roads were really back roads. Mm-hmm. And he had, of course, in those days, they made house calls, so he had to go, and he felt, I'm sure, safe with the chains. Got stuck less than he would have with other tires.
I remember chains.
Yeah.
The driveway that we had where I grew up was cobblestones.
Okay.
And it was uphill.
Oh, gee. Slippery.
And my father would stop at the street bottom.
Yeah.
He'd put on his chains.
Yeah.
So he could get up the hill.
See?
So I remember chains.
Oh, yeah.
Was there an upholstery shop in town?
Yeah, there was. The upholstery shop, actually, I don't remember their names, but I do remember Stanley and Ruth Rivard. Stanley worked for the Prudential Insurance Company, lived on Wilds Hill, good friend of ours, and so was she. And her parents, Ruth's parents, had an upholstery shop. And that was what is now the Black Rabbit. But it was many, many things.
Oh, yes.
Before that.
It was the Jigger Shop.
It was a laundry, yep. And there was all sorts of, I can't remember them all. Next to it, you know, was a meat store.
Yep.
Next to that was an old movie theater, which burned down.
Yep.
And next to that, a very nice old house, was Dr. Wheeler's office, and Dr. Smith was in there, too.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's something I didn't know.
Yeah?
Tell me about the Andover shop, please.
Oh, Bob Darden.
Yes.
Oh, he was great. And what a friend. He was a true friend. He worked for the Lakeville Journal. Mm-hmm. And a friend of his in Boston had a men's shop, which was called the Andover Shop.
Yeah.
And Bob was always a dresser, beautiful dresser.
Yes, he was.
And he decided to go into that line of work, ask his friend if it was all right if he called it the Andover Shop, because it was far enough away from mm-hmm. Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And so, but before he opened up, he would come to me and he said, would you do my alterations if I decide to do this? And, of course, I said yes.
Surely.
And did them till the day he gave the Connecticut Yankee up. And met some very, very interesting people while I was sewing for him. A guy by the name of, that was his that was his stage name, The White Shadow. Used to be a, was it a football or basketball team. All black guys, except he was the white coach, so that's why they called him The White Shadow.
Ah.
And Jimmy Cagney, of course, I loved sewing for him. I did a lot of work for him till he got to the point where he was in a wheelchair. And then, of course, when he came to buy from Bob, I would go to the store and pin him. Mm-hmm. Made it much easier. Yeah. But he was a character. Very sarcastic, but being German, I really do keep him under control.
I would expect so.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was another, I want to say Robert Montgomery, but I may not have the right name. It was a gentleman that you always had to do his cuffs. And I think he lived in Canaan, and he was a movie actor.
Yeah, wasn't it Montgomery?
I thought it was. I thought it was Robert Montgomery.
Yes, of course it was. Yeah. Well, you know, nothing special. Those are just, at that time, screen people that some of us idolized, others didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
They earned their living like we do,
yeah.
Only in acting, and we do it in different ways, and we all need each other.
And we do.
Yeah.
And we should all be treated the same.
Oh, yeah. They come in here. That's what happens.
That's good. You know, equal opportunity.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. Now, Mrs. West Smith had a needlepoint shop at one time.
Oh, that was great. That needlepoint shop, actually, it was right next to, well, not exactly. There first came Marville, and the wife had the April 56, she called her store.
Mm-hmm.
And I rented from them for a number of years. I had one side, and she had the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a small house. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of the person. And then came Mrs. West Smith Needlepoint Shop, which is now the White Gallery.
Yes.
And Dr. West Smith had his practice in back. There's a big building in the back of the buildings that are on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a wonderful needlepoint shop.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, it was the best. People came from miles and miles. Mm-hmm. And I was quite ill one time, and a friend of ours had her draw a huge, huge, I would think probably, anywhere from 36 to 40 inches across. What is a circle?
The diameter?
Yeah, the diameter was...
40
that,
inches?
Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous. Needlepoint. And of course, I do just about anything, and I was never had the patience nor good at needlepoint. So a friend of mine is doing that.
I bought a small needlepoint,
yeah.
And it's this tiger with bloodshot eyes. And he's on a limb.
Too many martinis.
And it says, "Leave me alone. I'm having a crisis."
Did you finish it?
I did.
Oh, nice.
And I gave it to my mother. And when I broke up her home, it is now in my kitchen.
Oh, how cute. Oh.
They were so wonderful about helping.
Yeah.
Suggesting.
Oh, and she was, I mean,
amazing.
She was excellent. Color-wise, design-wise. Mm-hmm. As I said, they came from all over.
Oh, yeah.
The shop from her, from her store. And she's still alive.
Oh, no.
She's not?
She passed away recently.
But what? But just about a year ago?
Just
maybe?
About a year ago,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She was a fascinating lady.
Yeah, she was.
The schools that she'd started and the things that she'd done.
Yeah.
And she was still going to TLC courses. Up until last year.
Yeah, she was very, very nice gal.
Anything that you remember about Bonnie Mulville or John Mulville? her shop, or?
Oh, the shop was great. She had, it was expensive, but all nice things are expensive, or at least mm-hmm. most of them.
Mm-hmm.
But her things were unusual.
Yes.
I have several of them, and I was very lucky because I rented from her. I usually got a little break on them.
Oh, that's good.
And, of course, liking animals like my husband did, I got some beautiful monkey lamps. And two, there was a television program, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yes.
And she had the Beast as a lamb.
Oh, my.
Gorgeous. I captured him just like he was in that show.
Oh.
And I got two on either side of my fireplace.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, they're so nice. She had some really lovely things.
Do you know why she named her shop April 56?
Yeah, it had to do with the family.
Ah, okay.
It was certain family members added up to that, if I remember right.
Hmm.
I think that's what it was.
I always wondered.
Yeah.
But it was a wonderful
shop. I don't know why I say that, but that's, I'm saying it because that must have been what she said.
Do you remember Jerry Appleyard's sweater shop?
Oh, that was in front of me. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was nice. And she was doing very well.
Yes, she was.
Everything handmade, mm-hmm. beautiful colors.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she had a nice store.
They also were expensive, but the quality of the work was superb.
Oh, yes. And they last forever.
Yeah.
I mean, really. It's just like Geiger products from Austria. You know, you have them forever
and ever. I have a few of them.
I do, too. Yeah, they go for a while, and then you take them back out, and they're right back in style.
I have a gold and black Tyrolean jacket.
Yes.
That I think my mother bought it when I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
I am still wearing it.
See? The boiled wool, you can't wear out.
No.
I had the most beautiful, well, they're all beautiful, but I call mine beautiful because it was mine.
Of course.
Dirndl. Dress.
Oh.
A very dressy one. And I kept it for years after I outgrew it in my daughter's cedar chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then gotten to know the man that owns the Hopkins Inn
yes.
on Lake Waramaugh.
Yes.
And of course those girls all wear them, but I think they look like they're made in the United States.
Probably.
You can tell the difference from an original. So I decided it's no good in this hope chest. So I took it out, took it over to Millerton to the cleaner. It was black with beautiful embroidery.
Oh, my.
And it had a most beautiful green velvet short apron that went
mm-hmm.
with it. Very, very low neckline with this beautiful poofy-sleeved inset.
Yes.
And one night when I went to the Hopkins Inn for dinner, which I patronize a lot because I love it right there by the water. It's beautiful. Food is excellent. I took it over and gave it to him. He just couldn't believe it. His face, it was priceless. Yeah, it was worth every bit of the effort.
Yeah.
He really, really liked it. So I said, give it to whoever it fits. You know.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so nice, a treasure like that, to pass on to someone that appreciates it.
Yeah, that's why I did not want to give it to a thrift shop or something. It's nice to give it to somebody who knows what it is.
Yes.
And gives it to someone that will really enjoy it.
Because then it carries on the care and affection that you had for it to someone else.
I remember one night I had also the jewelry that matched the necklace, which was a strand of about 8 or 10 small strands of old silver, which had an inch and a half amethyst stone in the middle of it.
Ooh.
And I never wore that again either. My taste in jewelry has changed. So I couldn't find it when I took the dress. So I took it over next time I went and gave it to him. And he was absolutely speechless. So he said, all right, dinner is on me. I said, no, dinner is not on you. That's not why I brought this, to get a free meal.
Of course not.
Afford for my, pay for our own meal. He was so grateful.
Yeah.
So now the whole thing is complete.
And it gives you such a nice warm feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so important.
It is important. And more people should do that. You know, when you have things that you know you will never use or your children might not,
yeah,
give it to someone that you know will treasure it.
It's difficult sometimes to find that person, but it's worth it when
yeah
you do.
Well, and also it's different. It's difficult to part with things that are,
yes,
you know, really close to your heart. So
it is.
Yeah, so you have to make up your mind, too. This is really what you want to do. But if you cannot do anything with it, either wear it or it
yeah
doesn't match the decor of your house mm-hmm anymore, make someone happy.
I try. I had a portrait of my great-grandmother.
Yeah.
And she had been hanging on my grandmother's wall and my mother's wall and my wall, and none of the second cousins knew her or wanted her.
No, I'm sure.
And her grandparents had settled in a certain county in Indiana. And it's taken me 11 years to find a museum that will take Letitia back with her genealogy.
Great.
They're thrilled.
See?
And I'm thrilled.
Isn't that nice? Now that
yes
was that was another smart thing to do.
It,
you know?
She belongs there.
Yeah.
She doesn't belong on the East Coast.
Yeah.
She belongs there. But
it's
I
wonderful
wanted it to go to someone that would understand and appreciate.
Yeah.
And I had several people that I've never seen that were very helpful in getting this mission accomplished.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's important, too.
I know.
That's very important.
And the old pictures, the old people, like, I, for instance, I love the bone structure in Indian people.
Yes.
The old Indian people.
Mm-hmm.
And you also find it in others, not just Indian. But it is just so nice for people that enjoy that type of thing to look at.
Mm-hmm.
It's some kind of you see the hard work in their faces, you appreciate
the character. The character
yeah
comes
which
through
is so hard now. You don't find that anymore in the more maybe I shouldn't
we
quite
live,
put it that way,
we live
but
soft, and we have Botox, and we
different
have night cream.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It's different. It's different.
But that is so nice. I always did like that. The bone structure in those people.
Beautiful.
It just yeah
beautiful
tells a story just looking at them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Any stories about Herrick travel?
No, other than they were good customers of mine. What's the before Harris? Oh, I worked for them for so long. He was the guy when I first came to town, the only one with a white convertible in town. And the girls just absolutely adored him. What was their names?
It wouldn't have been Mitch Finley.
That's it! Mitch Finley, thank you.
All right! It was the white convertible that did it.
That did it. And they were very nice. I liked them very much, and they traveled a lot when they were younger. She used to bring wonderful fabric back from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
She would bring back saris, which we then made into evening clothes.
Ooh.
Or pretty gorgeous blouses. Oh, yeah, it was really, really nice.
She had more clothes than anyone I've ever known. She lived in my house for 15 years.
Oh, that woman was a dresser.
She
really
was
smart
a fashion
dresser
plate.
Yeah.
Really smart. Always yeah loved to see what she looked like.
And she was pleasant.
Yes.
You know, that was nice.
Yes.
Too. Very pleasant gal.
She still, even though she's a noble, she still dresses beautifully. She'll be up and down in her wheelchair, paddling along, beautifully dressed, top to toe.
Makeup and all, I bet.
Oh, yes.
See?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hair done, makeup,
yeah,
the whole nine yards. And it's so good to see.
Yeah, it's
so
nice if people that age
do
keep themselves up.
Yeah.
You know.
Anything about the Borden Turkey Farm? Shagroy's.
That was Borden?
Well,
I don't remember.
I thought it was Shagroy's.
There was Shagroy's.
Shagroy's over
yeah, it wasn't Borden. It was
Shagroy's.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time we used to go, in those days, you know, the like with so many people, you worked hard, the money wasn't always readily available, gasoline was cheap, so we used to go a lot for rides on the back roads.
Yeah.
And my husband liked elderberries, so we used to go up, up over Belgo into New York State, the back roads, and that was loaded with elderberry bushes. And we would pick elderberries, we would make a little picnic luncheon, the kids would love it, and they were just young enough that you could still control them and make them love it, you know?
Oh, yes.
So I remember one time, it was close to Thanksgiving, actually, and I don't know where we were coming from, but it was already late, and we were coming up Belgo from New York State. And what should we see on the other side of the fence, almost running in the road in front of us? A turkey.
Oh, my.
Well, my husband stopped the car, chased that turkey down, and we had a turkey dinner.
That's wonderful.
It must have flew over the fence or something. But that was nice. They used to have some wonderful, like, chicken pot pies. Mm-hmm. That was such a different era then. So many different things. And there were none of the houses that are there now. The Ford house down below with the white pillars, that was always there.
Yes, I remember that.
That was a nice house. And then the house next to the turkey farm, I assume that, I can't remember now, but I think that's probably where they lived. Mm-hmm. But none of the other houses, like Evelyn Keith and Artie Shaw, who were good customers and also excellent friends, very nice friends. None of those houses were up in those hills.
It's been built up tremendously.
Yeah. Oh, and a German friend had built a house hanging off the ledge. I used to be so scared of that house.
Oh, yeah.
Steel beams coming out of that mountain and half the house hanging out.
Ooh.
Oh, I would have never wanted to live in a house like that. I would have been petrified.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Belgo is so built up.
It is.
In a way, it's a shame. I know it's progress, but it took away so much of
the charm.
The charm of the town, that the way I remember it when I came here.
Is there anything else that you would like to add to this interview?
Oh, we'd be sitting here all night.
Well, that's perfectly all right.
Well, you probably heard all the stores and stuff that were here, so that's nothing new.
And this is why I was specific with some of the ones that I haven't got a lot of information on.
Yeah.
Have you had an enjoyable life here in the United States?
Yes. Yeah, I really did. I was in the right from the start, I was very made to feel very welcome and nice.
Good.
And different people, too.
Yes.
The Belchers, the Blagdens, they were all such down-to-earth people. Really, really nice. The pillars at that time of Lakeville, so to speak.
And of course,
I met them again through May Bissell. Dr. Noble, who was a great doctor and was my husband's father's heart doctor, and also became my husband's doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the town was so different then.
It's evolved, it's changed, but there's still so many wonderful people here in town.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's just a different, what's the word I'm looking for?
Different circumstances, different times.
Yeah. So, you know, the older people that we remember that made us feel so warm, and they had a way of making you feel just like you belonged.
Yeah.
And that is such a big thing.
It is a big thing.
Yeah.
I've lived in a couple of other countries where I didn't speak the language.
Yeah.
And it's the warmth that, not the words, but the warmth that comes from people.
You can feel it.
You can feel it.
You know. Even so, my English was really, really not good in the beginning. They just, they just got along. They just, I understood them and they understood me by either gestures or, you know, just eye contact.
It was, and smiles.
Yes, it was really, really nice.
I am so glad. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for doing this.